Test Talks, Episode 7. Hit it.
Welcome to the Test Talks Podcast, the place to go to geek out on software testing. And now your host, whose mission is to help you succeed with test automation, Joe Colantonio.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Test Talks, a podcast dedicated to all things test automation. I'm your host, Joe, from joecolantonio.com. And in this episode, we're going to talk about behavior-driven development, BDD, using a tool called Thucydides. It's a hard one to say. I'm going with Thucydides. I went to YouTube and I did a search for how to pronounce Thucydides. And after listening to it, I'm going with Thucydides. I was speaking with someone the other day and they were saying their classics professor didn't pronounce it that way. But, you know, I don't care. I like Thucydides. So that's what I'm going with. You may say tomato, tomato. I say Thucydides. So at this point, you're probably asking, okay, so what is Thucydides? So basically, Thucydides is an open source library that makes it easy to organize and report on BDD test results. It's also really cool because basically it acts like a wrapper over JBehave and Selenium 2 WebDriver. So out of the box, it gives you all this cool extra functionality that handles some boilerplate code that you would have to write with WebDriver or with JBehave. But by just extending some Thucydides classes, you avoid a bunch of code and you get some really easy to use out-of-the-box methods that allow you to create a BDD test framework very easily. And did I mention the reports it produces are unbelievable, especially if you've been using JBehave? And JBehave's reports, if you don't do any custom coding whatsoever, they kind of stink. I don't like them. I don't know who likes them. I mean, you could develop. I mean, you could customize it and make it really pretty, but out of the box, you have to see the difference between the two. So I actually have a blog post that I wrote a while ago called JBehave plus Selenium, Getting Started with Thucydides Part 1, that I show step-by-step how to install Thucydides, how to get started with it, and to show the differences between the JBehave report you get compared to the Thucydides report you get after running it, and it's a big difference. So I'm going to have that in the show notes, so make sure to check that out to actually get the visual coolness of using Thucydides. I discovered Thucydides last year. Basically, I was on a project with a team that was brand new to behavior-driven development. So they chose the tool JBehave. And you know, there are a lot of things in JBehave, like just creating a test runner. There's a lot of boilerplate code you need to create just to run a scenario. And, you know, it's kind of clumsy. But with Thucydides, all you need to do is create a class. And in that class, you just say extends Thucydides JUnit stories. And that's really all you need. You could also add other things like find stories called, find stories based on a path. But if all you had was a class that extended Thucydides JUnit stories, you'd be good to go. So that's awesome. So back to my story about the project I was on last year. So the software we were developing could be considered a medical device. So there's a bunch of FDA type processes you need to follow in order to create software like this. So you don't have the luxury of just writing tests however you want. You know, you really need to have this really heavy-handed process in place. So even though we're trying to transform into an agile organization, you know, you still need to keep this extra process in place in order to handle, you know, a regulatory environment. For example, if you were to get an FDA audit, you know, you need to have certain things in place in order to fulfill that audit. So it's really important that not only are we agile and we try to embrace the intent of BDD, but that we also always follow these, you know, these other processes that would help us, you know, with an FDA audit, because if you get a bad audit, they basically can shut down your business. So you really want to make sure you have all your ducks in a row. So anyway, so I was new to this team. The team I came for previously, the software we created was not considered a medical device, so we didn't have to follow all these different rules and regulations. So I wasn't used to people being really freaked out by FDA audits. When I was looking at the team's feature files and their scenarios, what they had done is they had written their BDDs at such a low level. Basically, there are two ways you can write your scenarios. One is to use what they call the imperative style. And basically, an imperative program means it uses a sequence of commands for the computer to perform, you know, in a particular order. So it's almost like a recipe. Do this, 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 and that. You know, and it's really precise, and it really talks about implementation details like clicking on buttons, which is really more along the lines of how to do something. The second way you can write your step definitions is using what they call the declarative style. Basically, this means you write your steps at more an abstract type level where you really push the... So basically, you push the details on how to do those particular steps into step definitions. So these step definitions are short and they're easy to maintain because you're pushing the actual work into the helper methods in your support code. So the main difference then is a declarative program basically tells the computer what it should do without telling it precisely how to do it. So that's the main difference. So in the book, Bridging the Communication Gap, Specifications by Example, there's a really good quote that I like. It says, imperative requirements, which command what people should do without demonstrating it, are especially bad as they are seemingly precise, but leave quite a lot of potential for mistakes. Just think about that for a second. So basically, we each have our own assumptions that affect the way we understand what these statements are saying. So just because we heard, we read, and we understood something in English does not necessarily mean that we understood it the same way. And that's why using behavior-driven development, we use scenarios to create examples to demonstrate our understanding of what it is exactly we're trying to do. And of course, we want our developers to write their scenarios in the declarative style and really try not to write imperative style scenarios. You know, usually when you write BDDs, that the whole reason for BDD is you want to have clear communication. It really should prompt communication between you, the developers, the product owners, and the users to make sure that before you even code anything, that you're creating the right thing, that what you're coding is what the user wants, and the assumptions you are making about what the user wants are correct. You really want to strive to keep your scenarios, you know, at a really high user level so that you're speaking in an English-like language that, you know, you try to leave out implementation details. So another great quote from Bridging the Communication Gap is, understanding why something is a requirement instead of just blindly following instructions is definitely one of the key factors for improving the chances of success in a software project. So this is the reason why it's so critical to communicate the reasons behind technical requests and business decisions. So when I asked the engineers on this project, why are you writing all your scenarios at such a very low level? They said, well, if we ever get audited, you know, an auditor wants to see, you know, exact step by step exactly what we did because they want to see exactly what you did. So we cannot have high level scenarios because it doesn't fulfill an FDA audit. And so that's why we're writing these low-level, these really, really low-level type BDDs. And so they were completely ignoring, you know, most of the benefit of BDD having the conversations. They were basically just using BDD as a test automation framework. And so, you know, that didn't end really well. You know, in the end, you know, you'd run these tests and you have, you know, thousands of tests running in CI and most of them would be failing. And when you actually looked at the failures, you look at it, you know, there's all this implementation details and it was hard to find out what was going on. And anytime they changed something, you know, some tests would fail. So say they changed from a drop down to a button. So because they had that hard coded in all their tests, they'd have to go through each test and actually change that detail. And so that would take a lot of time. And it was just a big mess and big headache and really not in the spirit of BDD. So I understand why they were doing it. So when we started a new project this year, I try to take what we learned from last year and try to think, hey, okay, how can we make this better? And so do we really want people writing these BDDs at this low-level implementation level? And you know, the answer is clearly no. You'd never want to write these, well, never say never, but you know, in general, you do not want to write low-level implementation-like BDDs. You want them more declarative. So you might be thinking right now, all right, we get it. So what? So how does this all tie into Thucydides? So then I stumbled across Thucydides. And so, you know, Thucydides kind of it says it's a reporting, it's kind of like a reporting tool. And it's really more than that for me. So Thucydides, I think Thucydides reports help you to write your BDDs at the right level. And the reason why is most people, if you're familiar with BDD, are familiar with the annotations I use, such as given, when, and thens. So Thucydides gives you an extra annotation called the at step annotation. And what's really, really cool about this at step definition is you could still write your given, when, then at a really high level. You know, for example, given a user is on joecalantonio.com, when the user does a search for a word, you know, they should see a list of posts that contain that word. Notice there's not really implementation details in that given, when, then. We don't talk anything about the UI, nothing about the buttons, really. With this at step annotation now, when you go into your step definitions, basically you create a class. So in that class, you would create a method like look for. So you would have nUser.lookFor. And that lookFor method would call another step definition. And that step definition then would have other methods called like enter and start search. And then those would call a page object. So basically, you have these high-level given when then statements. And in your step definitions, you have this extra at step annotation that allows you to map these lower-level methods to these high-level given-when-then statements. So when you produce the report, automatically now it has these high-level given-when-then, and when you expand, there's a plus sign next to the given, next to the when, and next to the then. When you expand it, it shows you then all the lower-level methods you use to actually do that particular high-level step. So you get the best of both worlds. You get your high-level BDDs written correctly within your feature files. So hopefully it should promote nice conversations and what you're doing and really, you know, stay out of the weeds, not really talk about implementations, but what, you know, what are you doing? Why are you doing? You know, you're really talking about what you're trying to achieve. And then, you know, the report also has the low level details. So how cool is that? So you could hand a auditor the results of your test runs and they could see the high level given when thens and also how you actually implemented those given when thens all in one report. But you still have the separation of your physical feature files away from the low-level implementation details which live in your class, and that by using that at-step annotation now, you're able to combine both to create this awesome document you can hand off to someone that explains exactly what you did and how you did it. So it's really, I think, a really, really awesome feature of Thucydides. And because this report gives you the high level and low level details. Now, when you're writing your BDDs, you can think, you know, as a user, I want to do this. Not as a user, this is how I do it. It's a different mindset, and it really helps you keep the right mindset now because it really handles the main concerns people were having on the project I was working on last year with the project people are now working on this year. So now when someone's moaning and groaning to me, oh, boo, hoo, hoo, I now have a really good answer for them saying, hey, look, I understand. But here's a solution. Here's a way to get around that. Here's a way that we can still write our BDDs at the right level in a declarative type style and still have these low-level implementation details. So not only do we get these really great reports, but it almost actually also forces us to create a framework that conforms to almost best practices, because to use the at-step annotation, you really start separating out your automation framework into these different layers. And these layers then facilitate best practices for automation because all your lower level technical details are just as opposed to being throughout your step definitions. So it really kind of forces you to think, okay, how do I want my report to look? How do I get my report to look that way using these extra Thucydides methods and functions? And that forces you to write your classes and your framework in such a way that your tests become more readable, more maintainable, more reliable almost, because you're trying to implement this at step to get this added feature functionality. So another cool Thucydides report feature is now because the report actually will spit out your method names, it tries to make it automatically will try to make the name English. So, you know, you may have a method called looks_for. And when it writes it to the report, it gets rid of all the underscores and it just does a capital L, you know, look for. So if you look at the report now, it even looks a little more English. It takes your Cody type method name and it tries to it automatically tries to make it more readable for you. So that's really another cool feature. And when you look at these reports are unbelievable. You know, you get out of the box, you have this overall test result report. And just picture in your mind now, you know, a nice pie chart. And the pie chart will show you the percentage of tests that passed, that failed. And you can click on the pass and failed, and it will show you those tests grouped together. And then you can actually drill down into each feature and each of the features scenarios. And in each of the scenarios, you can actually see the given when thens, and you can expand each given when then and see the actual low level steps that we use to actually do that given when then. And it captures snapshots for you automatically. So it also has the outcome of each given when then, whether success or failure. If it was a failure, it would show you the failure. And it also keeps track of the duration that it took for each given when then to take. You know, with Thucydides, out of the box, it gives you an extra feature where it'll handle management of your Selenium drivers. So normally when you create a framework from scratch, you need to be able to write code that says, you know, if you're a Firefox, do this. If you're IE, do that. And basically, out of the box, Thucydides handles the driver management for you so that you don't have to write any of that code. You basically just pass parameters to say, you know, run against IE, and it knows what code it automatically knows to run IE. You don't have to code any of that. So it takes care of some of the basic Selenium type code that you might need to do, that you might have to create from scratch if you started, you know, without using a tool like Thucydides. So that's another thing why I really like Thucydides. You know, it gives you a lot of command line options that you can use them when you run in your CI environment. It just saves you a lot of time. And also you have a community of users then to go to because it's open source. So you're not on your own. So if you leverage Thucydides, you also get to have access to that community. So you have just more resources. So anytime you have more resources, I think that's a plus. So another report type feature you can use with Thucydides is tags. So the ability to tag certain scenarios and certain tests is really, really helpful. For example, say you had a set of tests that you consider hazards. They always have to pass. They're really high priority. You can have a tag called hazard. And then when you run the test in the report now, when you go to the first overall result tab page, it will group together all your tagged tests. So you can have all your hazard tests in one location. So someone can look at that report and right off the bat see whether or not all the hazards passed or failed. You want all your tests to pass. But, you know, if for some reason you had some tests that were really critical that always had a pass, that, you know, if they weren't passed, if they were failing, you'd want someone to get on it right away. That would be the first one that they would prioritize, go for the hazards. Then this is a great way to have an easy way to look at a report and say, are my critical hazard tests passing or failing? So it's really cool to be able to break out your report based on tags if you have certain tags that you like to group tests together by. Another great feature of tagging is you can create a tag. So say if you're debugging your test and you only want to run the test that you're working on currently. So you can create a Joe debug tag. And then when you run the test from the command line, you just pass a filter tag that will filter out just for your Joe test. And so this is really helpful for debugging and saves you a lot of time. So the tagging feature is really cool. You can also do tagging in JBehave. It uses the tagging, the same tagging as JBehave, but it's a lot easier to use in my opinion. I've had more success using the tagging feature within Thucydides than I've had just out of straight JBehave. And it's funny because you'd think for JBehave, because it's a behavior-driven development tool that their documentation would be really clear and easy to read, and it's not. I find the JBehave site really hard to understand and find information. So that's another plus for me for Thucydides. I think Thucydides has better documentation overall. And so Thucydides handles a bunch of other things. It handles Spring integration. You can convert spec flow cases into Thucydides reports. It has multiple command line options. It supports tags. Now with JBehave supports tags also, but you know, I really couldn't get that feature to work correctly. But with Thucydides, it automatically picked up the tagging. And it, you know, really was really nice and easy. It also manages screenshots for you. So that's another feature that you probably would have to code if you were starting your framework from scratch. It manages the state between your steps. So a lot of times, you know, if you're starting from scratch, you'll have some really funky code to handle the management of driving, of passing that driver between steps. And this way, I manage that all for you. It has some really nice clean methods that will take care of that for you, where you can pass the state of the driver between steps nice and easy without having to write any clunky code. It allows you to data drive test. And, you know, it also allows you to run tests in like parallel batches. So that's really cool. So that's Thucydides. You know, I really recommend you check it out if you're doing behavior-driven development with Java, especially if you're using JBehave. I think Thucydides is really a must-have library if you're doing behavior-driven development. I highly recommend it. Check it out. Like I said, all the links will be in the show notes at www.testtalks.com/07. And that's it for this episode of Test Talks. As always, test everything and keep the good. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Test Talks podcast. Head on over to www.testtalks.com for full show notes, amazing blog articles, and other automation awesomeness.